634.
Bhagavana pi govindo.
Brahmanyo
hapti vatsalaha. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead
Krishna,
Abhi, also Govinda, one who enlivens the cows and the senses. Brahmanya, devoted to the devotees or to the Brahmins. Bhaktavasa, affectionate to the devotees. Kachit, weather. Pure, in Dvarka Puri. Sudharmaya, pious assembly. Sukham, happiness. Aste, does enjoy. Sruvitpita, surrounded by friends. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. Is Lord Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gives pleasure to the cows, the senses, and the Brahmas, who is very affectionate towards his devotees and joins the pious assembly at Dvarka Puri surrounded by friends? Here, in this particular verse, the Lord is described as Bhagavan, Govinda, Ramanya, and Bhaktivatsala. He is Bhagavan Swayam, or the original Supreme Personality of God, in full, with all opulences, all power, all knowledge, all beauty, all fame, and all renunciation. No one is equal to or greater than him. He is Govinda, because he is the pleasure of the cows and the senses. Those who have purified their senses by the devotional service of the Lord can render unto him real service and thereby derive transcendental pleasure out of such purified senses. Only the impure conditioned living being cannot derive any pleasure from the senses. But being illusioned by false pleasures of the senses, he becomes servant of the senses. Therefore, we need his protection for our own interests. The Lord is the protector of cows and the Brahminical culture. A society devoid of cow protection and Brahminical culture is not under the direct protection of the Lord. Just as the prisoners in the jails are not under the protection of the king, but under the protection of a severe agent of the king. Without cow protection and cultivation of the Brahminical qualities in human society, at least for a section of the members of society, no human civilization can prosper at any length. By Brahminical culture, the development of the dormant qualities of goodness, namely truthfulness, equanimity, sense control, forbearance, simplicity, general knowledge, transcendental knowledge, and firm faith in the Vedic wisdom, one can become a Brahmana and thus see the Lord as he is. And after surpassing the Brahminical perfection, one has to become a devotee of the Lord, so that his loving affection in the form of proprietor, master, friend, son, and lover can be transcendentally achieved. The stage of a devotee which attracts the transcendental affection of the Lord does not develop unless one has developed the qualities of a Brahmana, as above mentioned. The Lord is inclined to a Brahmana of quality and not of false prestige. Those who are less than a Brahmana by qualification cannot establish any relation with the Lord, just as fire cannot be kindled from the raw earth unless there is wood. Although there is a relation between wood and the earth, since the Lord is all perfect in himself, there could not be any question of his welfare, and Maharaj Yudhisthira refrained from asking this question. He simply inquired about his residential place, Dwarapuri, where pious men assemble. The Lord stays only where pious men assemble and takes pleasure in their glorifying the Supreme Truth. Maharaj Yudhisthira was anxious to know about the pious men and their pious acts in the city of Dwarapuri. Om Gyanatvanandasya Gyananjana Salakya Chakshurum Litam Jina Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Mukham Gurdhvajalam Amunam Devdekun Yad Pripantaraham Vande Shri Guruve Nama Dharanam Vanchakalpati Vishya Kripasandhu Devisa Paditanam Kavane Guru Vaishvari Guru Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhan Shri Vasati Gaurava Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So the first word used in this verse is Bhagavan. And as we heard, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, the meaning of this word, Bhagavan, six opulences: beauty, wealth, strength, fame, renunciation, knowledge. So Krishna, he has all these in full. Like on this planet, there's very beautiful people, very beautiful women, very beautiful men. There's very strong men, very knowledgeable men. But no one has all these six opulences in full. Right? Someone may be very strong, but not very attractive, or very intelligent. So Krishna, he has all these in full. Very, very beautiful. Inconceivably beautiful, as described in the Nectar Devotion. That Krishna is so beautiful that generally, you know, when people put ornaments on their body to make their body look more attractive. But Krishna is so attractive that Krishna makes the ornaments look more attractive. Nothing makes Krishna look more attractive. He makes the ornaments look more attractive because they're on Krishna. Very attractive. And he always has this beautiful peacock feather on his head. So Krishna is very attractive. And the more that we come in contact with Krishna, we also become attractive. Just like Prabhupada. Before Prabhupada went to New York City, there was an unwritten rule: don't trust anyone over 35. Because that was the old generation. Really old generation. 50s. Backwards. So Prabhupada shows up in New York City twice that age. And the youth are surrendering to him. Eventually, it became so widespread, Krishna consciousness movement, people surrendered to Prabhupada. There's a book called The Hare Krishna Explosion. And so many youth were giving their lives to Prabhupada. Why? Because Prabhupada was very attractive. Thousands, tens of thousands of pictures of Prabhupada. Very attractive. Why? Because he has Krishna consciousness. It makes one very attractive. So, beauty, wealth, Krishna, he's very wealthy. And just like there's some people on this planet that are very wealthy, but they can't keep their wealth. We're born in this world with nothing, no wealth. And we leave this world with nothing. Can't take anything with us. A Christian is so wealthy. He always owns everything. People in this world, they may think they own something, but it's this temporary illusion. Everything always belongs to Krishna. Extremely wealthy. There's one man now, Carlos Velu, wealthiest man in the world. Got about $60 billion. But can't take anything with him. He'll be a pauper when he leaves this world. But a rich person is someone who develops devotion for Krishna. And when they leave this world, they take that devotion. He never loses it. Neha vikramanasos prachivayam svapakasya. In this endeavor, there's no loss or diminution, and little advancement on this path can protect them from the most dangerous type of fear. So we don't lose anything. Whatever we do, it goes into our eternal spiritual bank account. And we want to build up that bank account. Get a big account. And then when Krishna sees our bank account, our transcendental bank account at the time of death, then Krishna says, okay, you have a big enough account, come on. And Prabhupada said that when you go back to Godhead, Krishna will be there. And he'll shake your hand. Like Lord Krishna, he shook the hand of Brahma. And he'll tell you, it's nice to see that you're not insane anymore. Because in this world, everybody, frankly speaking, is insane. Because of the bodily conception of life. So a sane person is a person who realizes, I'm the soul within the body. The body is just a dress. It's a vessel for the soul. So this realization increases more and more as we connect with Krishna. So the more we hear the glories of Krishna, the more we're connected to Krishna. So beauty, wealth, strength, Krishna is so strong. There's one guy that he is able to lift about 600 pounds over his head. That's a lot of weight. The strongest man in the world. But Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. I don't know how many tons it weighed. But Krishna still holds the world record for weightlifting. I don't think anybody can compete with Krishna's strength. So strong, you can't imagine. He killed so many big demons, Aristasura, and so many demons Krishna killed. Very powerful. And Krishna is also known as Satyasankalpa, that he doesn't even have to put any effort whatever he does. Whatever he wants, it just happens. It just happens. So powerful, Krishna. When we want to do something, we have to put so much effort into it. And even after putting so much effort into what it is that we want to do, still, quite often, doesn't come out the way we want. But Krishna, simply by his desire, comes out exactly the way he wants. So beauty, wealth, strength, knowledge. There's one person who's considered to be the most intelligent person on the planet. Kim Young from Korea. He's got an IQ of 210. Very intelligent. By the time he was 3 years old, he knew 4 languages fluently. Impressive. And he got his PhD in physics at the age of 16. So imagine Krishna's IQ. He's never made a mistake. I don't think there's a number that could go high enough. Very high IQ. So intelligent. Krishna is so intelligent that he speaks the Bhagavad Gita just off the top of his head. Maybe an hour and 15 minutes or so. It's not that he had to study or anything, you know, this has got to be good, I'm glad it's got to be a nice, you know, nice presentation. You know. Just off the top of his head, spoke Bhagavad Gita. And now, 5,000 years later, it's translated practically in all the languages of the world, studied in universities all over the world, libraries all over the world. And in another 100,000 years, it's still going to be studied in universities all over the world. It's still going to be read by people all over the world. So this is God. When he speaks, it's relished and appreciated for millions of years. So intelligent. And he didn't just know four languages. He knew all. He knows all languages, even the animals' languages. Very intelligent. Can't imagine how intelligent. And again, the more we are connected with Krishna, we also become intelligent. The more we take shelter of Krishna, Krishna gives us transcendental intelligence. Asam Sarati Kanam Bhajitam Pritipurvam Dadami Bhuti Yekam. You know, okay. He says, those who are constantly devoted to me and worship me with love, I give them the understanding, the intelligence by which they can come to me. So this is the intelligence that we want, not big IQ. There's many very, very intelligent people, big IQs on this planet, don't believe in God. So we don't consider them intelligent. Big IQs, high IQs, professors, universities, nobody. So we consider this fool. Not at all. So beauty, wealth, strength, fame. Krishna is very famous. Many very famous people in this world. Who's more famous than God? Everybody's heard of God. Most famous. Actually, there's a country in this world, believe it or not, there's no name for God. You can't say anything, any phrase which brings out God. China. There's no Chinese word for God. So atheist. Incredible. Even in their language, you can't say God. There's no word. So atheistic. But still, Krishna consciousness is spreading in China. So I guess they made up some words in Chinese, you know, expressing God. So this is the power of the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. That he can spread the name, the fame of Krishna all over the world. So we're very fortunate that we have come to hear the glories of Krishna. So many glories. It's described that there's different types of purity. There's two types of purity. One purity is where oneself is pure. And another type of purity is where one is so pure that one is able to purify others. So this is Krishna to an unlimited degree. He's so pure, inconceivably pure, that we just hear his words, we get purified. We hear his glories, we get purified. We see him, we get purified. Any way we come in contact with Krishna, from Arkham, Brahma Havir, Brahma Gnau, Brahma Nam, from Ayavakena Gantavir, Brahma Karma Samadhi. That one who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the kingdom of God. Because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which that which is consumed is transcendental, and that which is given is transcendental. So everything we're absorbing is in connection to Krishna. We don't read, you know, karmic books. We don't go to karmic movies. hopefully. And Prabhupada was here, there's no question that it happens sometimes, you hear it again. So we only take Krishna prasadam, we don't eat bhoga. So everything we're absorbing is in relation to Krishna. We only associate with devotees. Everything that we're absorbing is in relation. And everything we're giving is also in relation to Krishna. We give out books about Krishna. We give out prasadam, which has been offered to Krishna. We give out the holy name. But everything that we're accepting is transcendental. And everything we're giving is transcendental. In this way, we also become transcendental by this connection to Krishna. So Krishna, he's so pure that he even purifies sinful activities. It's like we all know it's sinful to lie. But Krishna lies. When just before the battle, Kurukshetra, Duryodhana and Arjuna, they were going around and they were trying to get different kings on their side. But none of them had been to Krishna yet. And it just so happened, as we heard from Ramaswami, they both arrived at the same time. So Duryodhana thought, they need to be near his head because he'll see me first and you'll have to fulfill my desire first. Arjuna, the devotee that he is, better not at his feet. So Krishna transcendentally woke up. He never sleeps. He knew they were there. So Krishna just, he saw Arjuna first. And then he saw Arjuna. Oh, what's the occasion? They explained, oh, the battle is coming. We both want you on our side. So Krishna said, well, I'm not going to fight. But I have my army, so one of you can have my army, one of you can have me. So Arjuna, I saw you first, you choose. So Arjuna said, I'll take you first. And Duryodhana was thinking, God, this guy must have gone nuts. He's not going to fight, but he still chose Krishna. And he was very happy, very, very happy he got the army. Many Akshavanis. Big army. Imagine how big Krishna's army is. And powerful. Krishna's army, imagine. Power. So he was very happy. So then at one point during the battle, Duryodhana went to Bhishma and he said, I can understand that you are favoring the Pandavas, because although you are the greatest warrior on this battle, on this battlefield, you have not even scratched the Pandavas. So Bhishma took that as a challenge because he's a Kshatriya. He said, oh yeah. Alright? You see these five arrows here? These five arrows are going to kill the five Pandavas tomorrow. So, Duryodhana was very happy. Can you imagine? Oh, Bhishma, let me hold these arrows. Safekeeping. So he took them to his palace, to where he was. And then Krishna, he told Arjuna, there's a plan tomorrow to kill all of your Pandavas. But that can be thwarted. You go to Duryodhana tonight and you ask him for five arrows. Bhishma has vowed to kill all of you with these five arrows. You go and you get these five arrows. He owes you a favor. So he went. He went to Duryodhana, knocked on the door. Duryodhana opens the door. Oh, Aribo. What's up, Arjuna? Come in. You know, in those days, it was a little culture, even in battles. At night, they would be friends. They would dine together and they would joke. It was all kinds of, it's like inconceivable. So he invited him in. What do you want? I'll give you the whole kingdom. What do you want? And Arjuna said, no, I don't want the kingdom. Prabhupada was speaking about this. And Prabhupada said that Arjuna wasn't a sissy. He's not going to take the kingdom as a gift. He'd rather fight for it. But he did come to those five arrows. So no, no, I don't want the kingdom, but I do want those five arrows. So immediately, because he owed him this favor, he said, all right, no problem. He gave him the five arrows. So the next morning, Bhishma gave him the five arrows. He gave the five arrows. I don't have them. Arjuna came last night. I owed him the favor. I had to give him five arrows. And immediately Bhishma thought, ah, Krishna. Krishna's behind me. So he has forced me to break my promise. Now I'm going to force him to either break his promise or I'm going to kill Arjuna. So word got out that Bhishma is after Arjuna. So they were all, everyone on the side of the Pandavas were trying to protect Arjuna. But Bhishma is very great, inconceivably great warrior. So he got closer and closer and closer to Arjuna. And finally he got to Arjuna. And they're fighting. And Bhishma is just getting ready to kill Arjuna. And then Krishna broke his promise. He took the wheel of the chariot. We've all seen the beautiful picture. He takes that wheel. He's ready to kill Bhishma. Anybody know what happened then? Why didn't he kill him? Because the sun went down. Just at that moment, just when he was getting ready to kill Bhishma, the sun went down. And when the sun goes down, the battle of the day is finished. So the sun saved Bhishma from being killed. As soon as the sun goes down, and it's over for the day. But Krishna broke his promise. He would. He said he wouldn't fight, but he would. You know, he took up a weapon to fight. So Krishna lied. Why? To protect his devotee. And Krishna steals. Stealing is a sin. He steals butter. Makhan chor. Going around all the houses stealing butter. It's a thief. But he's glorified. Makhan chor. We love this thing. There's that deity, Krishna, holding butter. And the residents, when Krishna would steal the butter, they relished Krishna stealing the butter. But externally, they would make a show when they were upset. One time, Krishna, he stole butter from one house. And the Maharaji caught him. She said, now I've caught you. Red-handed. Krishna has red hands. That's probably where the term red-handed came from. I caught you red-handed. Now you're in trouble. She's got it by the arm. Now you're going to get it. I'm taking you to your mother and you're going to get punished. Alright? You're not going to do this anymore. She's taking Krishna. Mother Yasoda. She gets Mother Yasoda. Alright? Mother Yasoda, I caught your boy stealing butter from my home. You have to punish him. So Mother Yasoda comes to the door and says, what are you saying, Mother? What happened? She said, I caught your son. He's stealing butter from me. My home, he's doing it all the time. You had to punish me. You had to stop from doing it. She looks down. She says, Mataji, are you feeling okay? You don't have a Krishna. This is your own son. Yeah. She looks down. Ah! Where did Krishna go? Anyway, it's okay, Mataji. Maybe you didn't sleep too well last night. It's okay. I said, I'm sorry about it. I don't know what happened. She's walking away. And then Krishna turns in to Krishna again. She looks up at her. He looks up at her. Says, if you ever do that to me again, I'm going to turn into your husband. And you say, ah. I don't think she ever did that again. So, Krishna steals, he lies. But these are all wonderful pastimes of Krishna. He's not bound to our rules of what God should be like. He's not stuck in this box of how we think God should be. And Krishna goes out in the dead of night with thousands of beautiful women. He's a brahmachari. What kind of brahmachari is that? very attractive. Everything about Krishna is very attractive. So beauty, wealth, strength, fame, renunciation, Krishna's also is very renounced. At the Rajasuya Yajna, it was decided that the supreme person has to be selected, who is the greatest amongst the assembly. So many people said it was Krishna, devotees of Krishna. So some people argued they didn't think this was right. So Bhishma spoke. And he said, actually, Krishna is the supreme. Because although I'm famous as a brahmacharya, as a staunch brahmacharya, Bhishma took a vow in brahmacharya, I cannot do what Krishna has done. In the dead of night, going in the forest with the most beautiful woman on the planet, and still being transcendental. Not possible. So this is Krishna. He is the best brahmacharya. Very intelligent. Kaving, Pranam, in the Bhagavad Gita of Krishna, he says how we should think of Krishna. Kaving, Pranam, Anusasataram, Anor, Aniyamsa, Anusmriya, Sarvashidataram, Achintirukam, Adityavarnam, Anusasataram. We should think of Krishna as being the most intelligent, the oldest, Kaving, Pranam of the world, where everybody is. No one actually walks in this world. Everybody dances. Wherever they go, they're just dancing. With no walking allowed. There's a sign of no walking allowed. In Goloka Vrindavan. Just dancing. And no one talks. They just sing. Remember the musicals we used to see, the movies? Everybody's singing and dancing. Spiritual, everybody's just singing and dancing. It's like inconceivable. That's a chinchin. Amazing. Every word is a song. Every step is a dance. And what is the most attractive feature of the spiritual world? Krishna is there. If Krishna wasn't there, it wouldn't be attractive. This is what makes the spiritual world the most attractive. Excuse me, sir. This gentleman here, this elderly gentleman, he sits in that chair. Would you mind? Doctor, tell the doctor the chair is here. You can go ahead. So this is what makes the spiritual world most attractive. Krishna. So, adityavarnam tamasavas. That Krishna, he can never be overcome by ignorance. He cannot fall down. This is our problem. We can fall down. That's why we're here. We fell down. But Krishna, he can never give up, never become bewildered by the modes of nature. Why? Because he's the creator of the modes of nature. How can he become bewildered by his own creation? Just like some of these people, they claim to be God. Why have you become? Why are you bewildered by the modes of nature if you claim to be God? Oh, this is my Leela. Cheetahs, big cheetahs. So Krishna never has that Leela. That's not a part of Krishna's Leela. Adityavarnam tamasa parasta. And he is potent, like the sun. He's so potent. I think in the Upanishad it said that, please Krishna, remove your glaring effulgence so I can see your form. It's like the Brahma Jyoti, that is an expansion of Krishna, and the sun is an expansion of the Brahma Jyoti. So you can imagine the effulgence of Krishna. You have to pray to remove the effulgence so we can see Krishna. We have to have, as he said to Arjuna, divine eyes. That's just to see the universal form, or to speak of the transcendental form of Krishna. So beauty, wealth, strength, fame, renunciation, knowledge. So Krishna has all these to an unlimited degree. Unlimited degree. So this is our goal, is to serve that Lord, the Lord of Vrindavan. And then our life will be perfect. This is the perfection of life. Always remember and never forget Krishna. On that note, is there any question or comment? Yes?
There are beautiful verses. Where are they from?
Where are they from? Which verses? Which one?
You describe Krishna's appearance as beautiful.
Oh, yeah. That's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Aishwarya Yashva Samagras. Isn't it Srimad Bhagavatam? I'm not sure. You don't know? Or do you? Okay, it's in the Puranas. Common knowledge of Krishna. Bhagavan. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. Bhagavad Gita. So this is the greatness of Krishna. So many wonderful verses. Any other question or comment? Yes?
In that statement that Krishna sanctions everything that's happening, how do we understand it within ourselves that the good and the bad that's happening to us, that Krishna's actually wanting it to happen to us, and see it as other people doing those things to us?
Yeah, good question. Krishna, he sanctions everything, so how do we understand how Krishna sanctions the good and the bad and evil things that happens? Well, it's karma. Just like we had this horrible incident that took place in America recently, 20 children between, I think, 5 and 6 were killed. Horrible incident. But we have to see the whole picture at the same time. They're not children. It says we're not this body, they're not their body. We're all eternal souls, so we have our karma. And nothing happens by chance. It's due to something in the past. So everything that's happening to us and to others, it's happened due to past activities. Krishna is not an unfair God. Like this, they have this saying that why do bad things happen to good people? The book. And the man that wrote this book, he says, well, God, he created this world and then just kind of left it. Left it on its own. He's not in control. Pretty much that was his statement. But no, that's not the case. Krishna's in control here in the material world also. Nothing happens without his sanction. And why do bad things happen to good people? Well, they appear to be good. But actually, you go deep down and there's some evil there also. We may not be able to see it. I'll give you an example. Imagine there's a group of policemen and they're chasing one man down the street. And they catch him. The man is trying to get away and they're beating him. Now some people will protest if that's all they see. If that's the only clip they see. And they'll try to stop the police or do something. But then if they were to see what happened before that man was the man that killed those 20 children, then they'd say, oh, okay, it's okay, it's good. Because then they're getting the whole picture. See, people don't get the whole picture. And that's why there's a lot of people that don't believe in karma. Because they say, the people that don't believe in karma, they say, oh, you people that believe in karma, you think, oh, if we see something bad happening to people, ah, yeah, it's just karma anyway. Don't worry about it. Sorry. But actually, that's not, I mean, that is the case, but it's not the case. In other words, even though people have bad karma, they're getting reactions. Still, devotees and Krishna himself, they come to try to help. People have their bad karma, but we're still trying to go out and give books. Because there's only one thing that can change their bad karma, and that's Krishna. When we come in contact with Krishna, all of our karma changes. As soon as we chant Hare Krishna, our karma is changed. So that's the power of coming in contact with Krishna. So although people have horrible karma coming their way, and they deserve it, still, we go out to help them out of compassion. Just like a doctor is treating a patient. He's got lung cancer. So we ask the patient, did you smoke cigarettes? Well, yeah, I smoked for 25 years. So the doctor's not going to say, well, you stupid idiot, what do you expect? I'm not going to treat you. And he walks out. He's still going to treat the patient, although it was stupid, right? He's still going to treat him. Yeah, there's still compassion there in the medical field. Although most of them are doing it for money. Although there's still, I'm sure there's some with compassion. So, still devotees out of compassion, they'll go and they'll try to help. And Krishna, he's also very compassionate. He tries to help us also. So, is that okay?
And the
devotees? Devotees. Well, yeah, we're practicing now. So we would think, well, we said we washed up our karma then. Why are still things happening? Well, there's still a residue there. There's still something there. Even devotees come and they do nonsense things. There's one, it's like there's different types of devotional service. There's devotional service in the mode of ignorance, devotional service in the mode of passion, devotional service in the mode of goodness, and then there's pure devotional service. So one may say, well, how is devotional service in the mode of ignorance? And there's one instance of a devotee in Laguna Beach, California. He was selling drugs and giving the results to Krishna. So Prabhupada heard about this and he said, no. This is not allowed. This is called devotional service in ignorance. Because he was giving the result to Krishna. That's not. But the way he was getting the result, that's not acceptable. So sometimes, even though we're engaged in devotional service, still there's attachment to the results. Still, it's not pure devotional service. Prabhupada said there's two things that go very deep in the heart. They're very difficult to remove. One is attachment to the results. If we're simply attached, if we're trying to enjoy the results of our activities, that's simple. And therefore, throughout the Bhagavad Gita, you'll see this word there so many times. Detachment from the results. Becoming detached from the results. This is pure service. It's very difficult to get free of this attachment to the results. And the other one is sex desire. These two are very deep in the heart. As long as we have these desires in our heart, we're still sinful. And therefore we still get reaction. And that's not just by action, but even by thinking. Of course, you don't get a reaction, a physical reaction, but still we don't reach that goal that we're trying to reach as long as we have these attachments. Yes? Yeah. So this is the transcendental instructions of Krishna. So we have to surrender to Krishna, then he'll reciprocate, he'll give himself. The more we give ourselves to Krishna, to the degree that we give ourselves to Krishna, we'll give ourselves to us. And when we completely give ourselves to Krishna, then there's no reaction. But one might say, well, wait a second. Prabhupada, he had this disease. He had diabetes. And he suffered. So Prabhupada said, we're not impersonalists. And this is the material world. Even though we may be a pure devotee, just because we're in the material world, there'll be reversals. So, that's there also. Just being in the material world is inauspicious. Even though one may be a pure devotee, still there'll be some reversal. Prabhupada would get colds also. Okay. Anything else? Thank you very much. See the Prabhupada.
Ladies and gentlemen, keep.